Yudches Yelsimun Pei Zayin Alach Yudches, we're going to Alacha Pei Ches Alach Aleph. Okay, so we're discussing first of all animals, a fowl that the person has in his home, especially in the old days of people's homes where there were animals inside the house. I mean, today you have also pets, which we'll get to actually, it's very again the Maisa. But the first discussion we're discussing is whether you're allowed to feed these animals. Which animals are you allowed to feed? The rule is any animals that you're responsible for providing them food, you're allowed to do so. So that means that if there's birds and stuff like that that really sustain themselves from everything outside, so there's no reason and it's not permissible for one to exert themselves in order to. It's a question of exertion. One's not allowed to do extra tircha in order to take care and feed these animals. And that means even throwing in front of them. The kids who discuss is an example of giving doves outside. But then he says a very interesting thing. He says that when it comes to dogs, that's an exception. We see already from Chazal, the Masechet Shabbos, and Daf Kuf Nun Hei, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically, so to speak, assisted the dogs by making the food last longer. And it stays in their intestines for 3 days. That means that he eats a little bit. I don't know if today's dogs, maybe they change a little bit. And he keeps his food in his intestines, in his stomach for 3 days. So because of this, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Hadrach Manus. So therefore, even the dogs that are considered ownerless, they're not even your dog. You're allowed to take care of such dogs. That's a very interesting halacha. There's an exception to this. Dogs that are dangerous. A person, vicious dogs, you should not provide sustenance. And technically, halachically, they're not permissible to be in a person's house. And there's a whole discussion about that in the place game from Medine Choshe Mishpat. So, okay. Now, the Kitzur already discusses also the famous minig of Perek Shira, Shabbos Shira, to put out wheat for the birds. So this is a little bit of a mystery exactly what it's based on. And the Kitzur is not in favor of such a minhag. He says it's a problem because we're not responsible for these birds on Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan is a beautiful HaShulchan, Siman Shin Chav Dalad. That gives you an explanation based on actually what he says that the Olam says. It's not even clear what the source is that the birds were singing also when they crossed the Yam Suf, and therefore it's an expression also almost of a kosher that we have to the birds. There's another beautiful explanation, actually, Piskachur's quotes from Rav Nachum Mendel Meriminov. If you get into the world of more Hasidic land, of the really connecting to Dasan and Aviram, that they put out the man and the birds came. So all that interesting, that's not so clear if we have exact sources in Midrashim for that, but Tzadikim already said it. And therefore, there's other eitzes what to do. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, on the stipler, he based his father, he basically would put it, I think, before Shabbos. What they do is they shake their table cloth anyway, and the table cloth crumbs go to the birds. There's a few other options. Some do right afterwards. Some do put it in a pot and then open the pot on Shabbos. So all these things are beautiful, and there's definitely what to be Saimach on. Okay, next. You're allowed to invite a non-Jew, interesting Shaila, especially into Bezman Hazeh, unfortunately. Get a mixed marriages. Who knows what goes on today? The halacha is you're allowed to invite a non-Jew to eat by you on a Shabbos meal. It's much easier doing that than on Yom Tov. Even though it sounds counterintuitive, because Yom Tov usually is not as strict as Shabbos. But the reason is very simple. On Yom Tov, you might cook. Since you're allowed to cook, you might cook more for a non-Jew. And the halacha is you're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Shabbos. So therefore, it's not permissible to invite a non-Jew on Shabbos on Yom Tov, but on Shabbos one is permitted. Of course, it's special situations, but as man says, you have to ask a shayla. We'll get to when we learn Hechos Yom Tov what the Eitzah is. But the svara interesting is that on Shabbos you're allowed to, and even though we just learned the whole halacha that you're not supposed to provide someone with food if you're not responsible. So why would that be okay for Nandra? The answer is since we have a concept of Darkei Shalom, you're allowed to give charity to a Nandra today because of Darkei Shalom, because of peace. So therefore, it's considered like you are responsible for his sustenance. Isn't that amazing halacha? Okay, next. Now, this is, I think, is one of the most complicated halachas to find in Eitza. I had experiences already myself with my daughter wanting to have different types of home animals, or whatever they call it, pets. When I say pets, it's not like it used to be where the pets are really doing the job in the home, catching mice, etc. If you have a cat or so, today it's really done for a whole different reason. And because of that, it also opens up the gate to permit maybe the question of mukta. So we'll get to that a little bit later. First, the question simply is a question of much more strict concern, which is the trapping. You're not allowed to trap in Shabbos. So if you have animals that are not used to coming home at night, these are referring to basically the non-domesticated animals. And even if they did, they are somewhat domesticated, but now they rebel. The problem is you're not allowed to return them into your house. And can't put them into the cage, can't put them into the house. This is where the problem is. So you buy, let's say, I don't know, a rabbit. And now you have a whole problem because you have to train the rabbit. But until you train the rabbit, you know that you really on Shabbos do anything with it. So at best, hopefully you have a kid that's doing it. And even he is very limited. The child is very limited in really what they can do. So there's two problems dealing with Seda, and then we'll get deal with Muksa in a moment. When it comes to even if they're in the home or in a cage and the door is open and you're closing the door, for the purpose of really keeping it inside, that could be also a Shiloh Tzeda. If they're domesticated animals, which means they come home at night by themselves and they went out and you're worried that they may be stolen or something, you'll have to push them into a place where they're going to be guarded. And still, you're not allowed to take them with your hands because of Mukta. You're not allowed to support. There's also a Shiloh if someone wants to ask me. So there are people still that have goats and different types of domesticated animals at home. And the question is whether you're allowed to help give birth, meaning to say to support and assist. And the real halacha is that you can't. And the other Mashal, you can't even support the newborn, which basically means you're catching the newborn from falling. So the kitzur doesn't like that idea. So what is the eitzah? The real eitzah is that you really should get a non-Jew, so maybe a cleaning lady of some sort that knows a little bit of what to do. That's the best eitzah. And there's an exception a little bit when it comes to an animal that actually has a wound, and you're allowed to smear oil, avoiding the problem of solid smearing solid. But if it's at the point where it's only being done for pleasure, you're not allowed to do that either. An animal that ate a lot of karshinim, that means to say that she ate a lot of excess vetches, and now basically she has a serious stomach ache. It's a type of leafy plant. So the halacha is they allow it to run in the courtyard in order that it should basically tire out, and that's part of the healing process. If an animal also has a congestion of blood, achzad dam is called, so you can put it in cold water. If it's a suffix, maybe if you don't do so, she's going to die. You'll have to tell a non-Jew to also do what's called a kaza. Kaza means to let out blood. That used to be the medical, but any medical procedure you're allowed to do, as the kitzur says, using a non-Jew. So really, anything to do with animals, the best thing is to have on Shabbos a non-Jew that almost is going, that part of the job is going to be to assist in this type of situation. And now we start Siman Peches, Siman Pach, laws of Muktzeh. So the kitzur, interestingly enough, starts off with mukta that's permitted, meaning to say there are certain things that a person sets aside on we'll call it in a mild level, where it's really not considered doesn't fall into the five categories of mukta, the essential. You know, the Rishon already pointed out, the Meiri pointed out that there's many sub categories of mukta. But on the concept of mukta, there are times where something is not fully mukta, and therefore it'll be permissible. So the kitzur actually starts off like that. And then he's going to go into categories of muktzeh that are forbidden. So something, for example, that a person set aside from his mind that he's not going to eat on Shabbos because it's not so, it's not so fitting for him. It's only when you really push to eat it. Well, it is roeh l'achila, but that he designated to be sold. So even though you put it in a storage room, or something, another example is something that's roy to became today fitting to be eaten by the dogs, even though Erev Shabbos it wasn't. It is a big chiddush. You have a chicken, and before Shabbos, you're thinking maybe you're going to shecht it at some point during the week and eat it for Shabbos Kodesh or whatever it is, and then it dies, so it becomes an avela. So the halacha is that this also is not considered enough of a muktzeh that it'll be forbidden, meaning to say it won't be forbidden and the dog would be able to eat it. Or something that changed today from what it was yesterday. But nevertheless, still today has a similar type of use. For example, you have utensils that are broken. The shards of the utensil are still usable in a similar vein that were that this in utensil was used when it was whole. All these things is permissible. Another example is bones that got separated from meat and now are fitting to be eaten by dogs. All these things are mutter to tal to Shabbos. Why? Because you didn't fully push it off. So what's considered something that you fully pushed off from your mind, meaning you totally set away from your mind? That is Groygerois and Tzimukim. The two famous examples of Groygerois and Tzimukim is because these are dried figs and raisins. What's the reason for this? Because once you decide that you're taking fresh figs and raisins and you're putting them and setting them aside in order to become dry and become raisins and dried figs, at that point, they're totally not edible at all. And therefore, you totally remove them from your mind. That's the ultimate quote-unquote mukteh. And that's why it would be forbidden to move, etc. Have a beautiful day.